The CM, the CI, yeah, think I'm clean as a hydra.
Selfish one. And another time I've seen your face, wondering what I've done, wondering.
Today we have a lovely chat with Michaela Slinger, who is a local musician from Vancouver, coming up. Before we dive into our chat with her, here is her song, Swim Back to You, from her latest album, Panorama.
Every time I see a sign for any westbound train, doesn't matter on the city, yeah, I always feel the same. If I walk on and I doze off, then maybe by the time I open my eyes. If I'm at the station and I see a long haul bus, feel like I should buy a ticket just because. A logical I know, but the motion makes it so that I can't pretend I'm on my way back to your
Airplanes over.
as they land me places where I'd have to swim far back to you. I'd have to swim far back to you. Style the whole way there. Put a map in a plastic bag.
Thank you so much for coming in to chat with me. I'm here with Michaela Slinger, a Vancouver local. Nice to see you. How are you today?
Hey, nice to see you too. I'm good. You know, it's one of those like ambiguous gray-ish days. So I feel like my mood is just sort of like also ambiguous gray, but you know, everything's fine. Everything's good.
Good. I thought we could start off with a couple funner questions just to get to know you a little bit. Before we get into more of the music side of things, the first one is, what is your favorite venue in Vancouver?
Ooh, right before the old pandemic, I got to perform at the Imperial, and that was pretty sweet. It just was really cool. I don't know, the layout of it, it's so interesting, and I feel like everyone has a good view, and it just really creates a lot of like natural sort of conversational space in the back, and the sound was really awesome. So I think that's my favorite place to perform that I've performed at so far. And then I don't know, I love seeing shows everywhere, and I feel like especially now I'm like, I see a show in a porta potty, I don't care where it is, just take me there. The other week I watched a group of teens film a TikTok in my alleyway because I'm up on the fourth floor for like an hour. I got as excited as I would be if I was at a concert. It was like the closest thing to live performance I'd seen in so long. I texted all of my neighbors. We were all watching from our windows. It was very exciting.
It's so cute. It's like a dance performance. It is.
It was. And they had two squads. They had two squads that were learning the dances. It was almost like a bit of a battle royale happening. It was really, really exciting.
So my second question is, you have a song called Wild Child, and I was wondering what the craziest thing you did or craziest memory you have from your like childhood or teenage years.
Oh, craziest. I feel like my mind immediately goes to like a legal activity.
Okay, yes.
Let's keep it light. The light childhood moments. Well, I guess, okay, this is more of just a random funny thing, but I grew up in Port Moody and now I live in Vancouver, so I very much have been fortunate enough to grow up here my whole life. And I feel like a lot of people make an assumption that if you've lived here, like you've just grown up camping and spend all of your summers camping. But for me, that wasn't really the case because my family's super into swimming and I was a competitive swimmer growing up in the summers. So you too?
Me too.
What? No way. Oh my gosh. Small world. Okay. Maybe you can relate to this. So my family didn't really camp besides swim meets. So like my experiences of camping sometimes were in campgrounds, but every summer I would look forward to camping in like the parking lot / field of the Abbotsford outdoor pool. And that to me was camping. It was so fun. All my friends were there. We didn't have a campfire obviously because it was like a parking lot, but probably eat marshmallows raw.
Camping out at a swim meet is definitely something that's very, very fond in my life.
Yes, and so particular. Like if you're not in that world and you walk by on a weekend and there's just hundreds of tents and people with scraggly wet hair and parkas, it's like such a confusing atmosphere, but that was totally my life in the summers.
In the early days, it was crystalline. All that I did, all that I said, aligned with what I'd mean. Now I got two left feet, and the ground is shaking. I have a bow and arrow, I do not know where I'm aiming. I'm convinced my sunshine spins are inversely related to my clarity.
swear 3 weeks ago I was lovesick with this devotion, talking to my friends with R forever on my mind. If I can't shake it off, then we're just going through the motions. We're both lost in time. I'm always in. It all looks so crisp, like it's edited. But then my body starts to lift up to my head. Maybe it's an age thing, or that old life stage thing. I live my life in puzzles that I'm always rearranging. I'm convinced my sunshine spins are killing me. Stuck in what I'm supposed to be. I swear 3 weeks ago I was lovesick with this devotion, talking to my friends with R forever on my mind. If I can't shake it off, then we're just going through the motions. Will we get lost in time? I'm always in. Sick with this devotion, talking to my friends with forever on my mind. If I can't shake it off, then we're just going through the motions. We're both lost in time. Another year gone by, forget how it was. I kiss and hug you, then I bug you, and it's just because I turn the lights out. I can't stop thinking you're lying next to me, but in my mind I just keep drifting.
And you mentioning, like, speaking of your childhood and all of that, you have been singing for a very, very long time. I was wondering if you had, like, a go-to song when you were a kid.
Well, before my voice changed, because I feel like people don't talk about the fact that, like, women also experience a vocal change in puberty. So, you know, before, as a little kid, I could belt seemingly forever. So, you know, sometimes I try and flex on, like, a Christina Aguilera moment. There's this song I performed a lot as a kid at these sort of, like, kindness concert benefits around Vancouver, like promoting kindness, which is very wholesome as little me. And there's a song called The Voice Within by Christina Aguilera. So I would just try and tackle that as a 10-year-old child. Pretty aggressive, pretty confident. And then, yeah, I don't know what are some other ones. My first public performance where I played and sang at the same time, I actually found this on YouTube the other day, was The Climb by Miley Cyrus. Perfectly in that generation, like High School Musical, Hannah Montana, like that was me coming of age right alongside.
I love that. So speaking of growing up singing, I was wondering when it was that you decided that singing was something you wanted to pursue, not only as something you loved and as a passion, but also as, like, a career.
Yeah, I think the funny thing for me is that when I was a little kid and I was in musical theater and performing and, like, dance and vocal lessons and all these things, I don't really think there was a question in my mind that I would be a performer of some kind at that time, whether it was musical theater or a singer or something, I didn't know. And then I kind of, I always loved it, but I think I got away from it a little bit. I also like loved school, and I went to university right out of high school up at Quest University in Squamish, and like did music kind of on the side, but I don't know what it was. I think I couldn't quite match my desire for maybe what we'd call like traditional success, or being like, oh, well, you know, people tell me that I'm smart and driven. I couldn't marry that with like the perceptions, I guess, that I'd interpreted about pursuing the arts, I guess. And I liked a bunch of things. So I was like, well, let's keep the arts as a hobby and let's do the real stuff for the career. And then it kind of took about 8 months in a full-time office job for me to be like, oh, 6-year-old me, like kind of knew what was up, you know? So it was a bit of a full circle moment to come back and just be like, I got to do it. You know, it's what I want to do. It's what I've always wanted to do. The stakes don't need to be that high. If it's a total flop, there's always a million other things you can do. But taking that leap to just sort of do what I've always wanted to do was really scary, but it's been really gratifying.
And I was going to ask, do you think that it's been worth it?
Oh, it's totally worth it. I mean, it's tough, right? And there's so much that kind of goes on behind the scenes when you're building a career as a musician. I mean, it's not my full time yet. And I think that's the reality for a lot of emerging musicians. I've balanced like, you know, 10 different jobs over the course of the last few years. And like right now I have 4, I just do a bunch of different contracts. So you make it work and you manage it, but it's all these little moments that I wish I could have packaged up and like sent as a care package to that, you know, 21 or 22 year old who decided to make that leap. You know, people listening from various corners of the world, or just getting to perform on certain stages, just getting to feel what it's like to put my own music out in the world, not even making it about metrics or about numbers. Yeah, it would, if I could have known that that's what it was going to be like, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have made the same leap. Yeah.
And I was wondering where you draw your inspiration from, whether from other artists or whether from things around you.
I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. What I'll say about my process is kind of just being out and about in the world. And then when I feel tapped into the world and, you know, just like a part of everything, that inspires me to write about my experience and that connection. Yeah, I write all the time and I always have ideas. But for the beginning couple months of the pandemic last year, I just wasn't writing. It's kind of the first time that's happened to me. And I didn't put pressure on it, but I realized like so much of my inspiration comes from like being out and about, and then I'm walking and I'm in motion and I see something and then I have a little voice note, or I come home after, you know, being out with friends and I think about something somebody said. So when all of that sort of external stimulation stopped, my connection and like tethering to the world stopped, and that was kind of hard for my creative process. But luckily, you know, I'm not like in this room 24/7, so my creativity and writing has come back.
And what is your writing process?
I'm super lyrics first. I'd say almost majority of the time, it's usually like some kind of lyrical idea will come into my head. And sometimes it comes as a melody too, but I'm always like observing the words I'm saying, being like, huh, okay, cool. Let's build something around that. And then from there, I try to build the story. There's the occasional time where I'll just be messing around on my guitar or on the piano, and then I'll like repeat something and then have words come. But I'm really interested in like crafting a pretty meaningful story with every song, I guess you could say. So I don't want any line to just be a throwaway or a filler. I don't know, hold me to that. Let's check it in 5 years. What if you're like, you're writing about nothing? But yeah, that's how it goes right now.
For those of you who are just tuning in, my name is Vali and you are listening to La Bonne Heure with me here on CITR 101.9 FM, currently chatting with Michaela Slinger, and here is her song, Masquerade.
Before the break, it was opaque, you sheltered me from everything. I never knew the things you do to keep away the monsters who'd corrupt my mind, to see behind the world you'd crafted for some time. I remember you yelling at me in a hotel near a theme park. Since then I never saw you the same. You broke down on the cheap duvet. I knew you were afraid, but you used your anger to cover up your fear, just like a man.
then, ho, 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 I remember you young.
Sorry for what I ignored, I didn't know enough before. You would smile, stay in control, you seem so one-dimensional. The pain you felt and swallowed down, if only I could go back now. Just like a masquerade. Differently, but you showed me yourself, and I'll tread carefully. It's too late now to do things differently. Trust me with yourself. No more yelling at me. I promise that you're safe. Don't use your anger to cover up. You feel like a masquerade.
Recording, is that something that you do by yourself, or do you go to a studio? Do you have people that help you out?
Yeah, well, I was fortunate right before the pandemic started, like a couple months prior, I actually signed with 604 Records, which is based here in Vancouver. And I've been working with one producer there, Louise Burns. She connected me to another producer, Kevi. So the three of us made my whole album together. Within that time, they were really encouraging for me to like try to also see songs like a producer and learn how to produce my own demos, and that really transformed my writing. So I often will write just on the guitar or piano, but I'll build up a demo typically on GarageBand, just like on my laptop, and like make, you know, rudimentary beats and add like placeholder synths and stack my own backing vocals, and then from there they can take it and sort of elevate it, but it's rooted in those initial ideas, which is really cool. So I'd say, I don't know, as a percentage, maybe like 50% of the songs on the album followed that trajectory. And then others were just like brought in fully acoustic form. And there were a couple songs that we more so co-wrote together, like the three of us in a room.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that 604 is based in Vancouver. You've grown up in Vancouver and in Port Moody. I was wondering how you find the Vancouver music scene compared to maybe other cities in Vancouver, or even compared to the US and other international music scenes.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, I feel as though it's too early for me to even say, because like I started in 2019 and I was gaining some momentum. I went to Toronto for the first time for this program, came back and started gigging, signed with the label. And then like within 6 months, COVID happened. So I've never performed anywhere but Vancouver and like the odd open mic in Port Moody. So I don't really have a pulse on like the creative energy of different cities or different venues. What I will say is that being in this virtual space for me as somebody who loves meeting people as an aggressive kind of extrovert, it's been hard to lean into like virtual sessions and things like that. I am super keen to travel to other places that people have kind of recommended to me, like Montreal, Toronto, LA, Nashville, New York, London, you know, obviously just like apparently going to rack up plane bills, as those are not casual places to visit. But I will say that it's so incredible to live here. and I'm very inspired by Vancouver, and everyone that I've met along the way has been incredibly supportive. I think there's a great scene to support indie and emerging artists. Like that, the way I got to perform at the Imperial and the Vogue was through this sort of like music competition skill building thing, and that was really fun. That was put on by MRG Concerts, so lots of stuff happening. I wish that it was happening right now, but everyone I've met has been a gem.
So I wanted to talk about your album, Panorama, that came out a couple weeks ago now. Congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thanks. Yeah, it's wild.
I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the genres of the songs.
Good cue. Changes. I feel like, depending on how I feel like describing it, I'd say overarchingly it's indie pop. I write, you know, with a sort of within a pop structure, but I try to pull from indie pop, which is now very much like a genre of its own, but there's definitely a lot of folk influences. That was kind of how I started writing, and folk singer songwriter acoustic was a lot of what I listened to growing up that made me want to do music, like John Mayer and Taylor Swift, and then like Imogen Heap. I remember like lying in bed listening, being like, whoa, all these kind of electro futuristic sounds are so cool. So I think there's elements of that in there. Yeah, I don't know. I could probably go on forever. It's indie pop, pop adjacent with like folk, singer, songwriter, acoustic, electro pop, mm-hmm. all mixed in depending on the song.
Cool. I love that. I love like a mixed bag, and I'm sure people love listening to that as well. And I was wondering, kind of on that note of mixed bags, I was wondering what some of the themes are that you, I guess, go over and sing about in this project.
Yeah, well, the album's called Panorama, and that was in part an homage to the street I grew up on. And also, I figured that by me trying to, like, take these songs that kind of capture the first 24 years of my life, as this is my first album, it would inherently be an incomplete picture and leave things out. And that's what we do. And we try to, you know, capture moments and memories. I think even whether it's like social media or journaling, there's just something about being in the present moment that will forever be lost, even when you try to talk about it after the fact. I don't think that's a sad thing. I think that's wonderful. So Panorama was getting at that idea of trying to take a panoramic photo of something and coming back and it's all blurry and distorted and doesn't really do it justice. And so I think the themes that I was touching on in being like inherently incomplete are trying to touch on like falling in love for the first time, navigating relationships and monogamy, coming of age, figuring out who you are in relationship to your parents and people in your life who have watched you grow up, but now you're trying to figure out your own thing and figure out who you are. And, you know, there's self-questioning in there. I mean, lots of these songs I was writing kind of as I was deciding I wanted to do music. So I think there's a lot of question marks. I'm asking a lot of questions throughout the album, which I resonate with. I feel like I'm a curious person. So like one of my song titles is literally a question. You know, I don't have many answers, but I have a lot of questions.
Do you think that your music has evolved during that time from your like Christina Aguilera days to now in your writing or in your style?
Completely. Yeah. I think when I started, I've been writing songs since age 10. I would surely hope that there's been an evolution there, although no shade to that girl. Like she was great. She was confident. But I think when I started writing and performing at open mics, it was very much in like the coffee house singer-songwriter tradition, like a little bit more gentle, really like stories over guitar. And that is still there, but I have loved using the structure and format of pop music and the dynamics that can come from, you know, like all the things that we're seeing with like a small verse, an explosive chorus, a bridge that's really out of left field. I love playing around with that. And so I think there's just more dynamic to my music and I'm more comfortable as a writer now where I'm able to play with form a bit more. Whereas before, you know, it would be like three chords and I was like, I'm going to tell you about the thing that happened today. And it's like, there's a place for that too. But I'm glad that I can, you know, use some different tools now.
Right before we get back to chatting with Mikayla Slinger, here is her song, Too Good to Be Great.
You're everything that I ever wanted, and nothing that makes me feel. I'm not lovesick with no longing, not falling head over heels. I describe as pleasant, I'd describe you as fine, yeah. I'd say it's a nice way to spend my time, but I wouldn't for a minute ever promise not to quit this, 'cause you don't make me ache. No, it's twisted, but I'm just here till I leave. It won't turn me on if it's easy. I'd rather chase you across the city till I'm falling over dizzy, and you go and take advantage of me. Oh, you're too good, you're too
And so you put out this album, it's your first album. What was the best part, and what was maybe the not so best part about, you know, this process and putting it out?
Well, okay, I guess there's two not great parts. The one, we don't need to belabor the point, we all get it, the pandemic sucks, but releasing your first album in COVID, not being able to play a show, you know, I like had a small release party planned because I thought I'd be able to have 10 people outdoors at a venue that had outdoor capacity. So that part was hard, and not being able to plan and just play in person has been tough. And I think the other tough thing is just that, like I said, I'm always writing. So I love all these songs so much, but I'm like, okay, what's next? But there's also like, I need to give breathing room and life to these songs. That part's really just begun. So in a way, I'm a little bit impatient to keep growing and keep going. The best part was that my partner and closest friend planned this incredible, like, COVID safe release day for me. So she dropped off a box of clues. I got to go to like 4 different stops with lyrical references in these clues to go perform an acoustic song for like my grandparents, my partner's nieces who were like super little, my family in Port Moody. And then we ended out at Tower Beach, and my close friends had a campfire set up for me and like, you know, bottles of champagne at every stop. It was incredibly, incredibly sweet. I felt like emotionally hungover for a week.
That's one of the nicest things I've ever heard someone do for someone.
It was truly delightful. I'm like, sorry, future birthdays, weddings, children, like, that was the day. That was my day.
What was your favorite performance out of those few during that day?
Oh, you know, they're all so different. My one set of grandparents, I think, were kind of confused. Like, they were like, why are you here with your guitar? I was like, remember that album I put out? And then my immediate family, you know, like, it's cool because I have all 4 of my grandparents' voices in little voice notes on my album. So to be able to perform for all of my grandparents was really lovely. And my family members kind of already know some of the lyrics of the songs off by heart. So it was nice to hear them kind of singing along with me. But there's nothing like performing at a, or not, I wouldn't call it performing, like singing at a campfire with people. So I'd say that's the highlight. And that was something I haven't really done a lot of, you know, just like with restrictions and not really being able to see people. So sitting around a fire, everyone's face is all glowy, the ocean. Yeah, it was pretty dreamy.
So my last question for you is, I know that sometimes you get the question, you know, what's your favorite song that you've written or that you've performed? I was wondering if you had a favorite lyric.
Oh, yeah, I think I do. It's for the title track, Panorama. And I kind of note that because most songs, like I've told you, I just sort of have an idea and go with it. But for Panorama, the song, I already had chosen the album title. So it was more like not an assignment for myself, but I was like, hey, I've got this idea, I've got this theme, I need to write a song about it. And I don't usually go in with such a preconceived idea of the message. And I think that focus really allowed me to just be really precise with my writing. So in the bridge, I'm kind of talking about that idea of trying to capture a moment and it not being accurate, kind of about social media and the internet, but also larger. So the lyrics are, day becomes night in a flood of blue light as we seek out remembering. But after the fact, yeah, it hits you like that, the grief from the loss of a moment that you once were in.
That's so
poetic. I like that one. Thank you. I like that one.
I like that one too. I think that's my favorite lyric of yours too.
I expect a full back tattoo when I meet you in person.
Honestly, just my forehead. Like.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that would be preferable. Yeah. Like, great. My like Spotify handle underneath one eye.
Each name, like Michaela Slinger. Just, wow.
That'd be incredible. Yeah, yeah. I'll go in on it, halvesies, with you. Yeah, the lip tattoo, and that'd be nice because those kind of fade. So it could be like the album title, but then in a couple years, you'll be ready for album 2.
Goodness. I'm gonna.
Any tattoo artists out there, yeah, hit me up. We could do a collaboration.
Can you imagine? The next time we meet, I just show up.
Also, I feel like so unlikely just for my brand too that like people would be coming with like full tattoos and like lip tattoos, but
it's just like
I would embrace you with open arms. Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I love that. So you mentioned, you know, hopefully shows, you know, post COVID and stuff, but I was wondering what's next. in your music world?
Yeah, good question. Still hoping to be able to play some outdoor shows this summer. Last summer I booked a little like acoustic outdoor tour, so I'm hoping to probably just self-book some places to go perform, and ideally places I haven't been before, just to meet new people. And then who knows what the fall holds. I'm trying not to look too far ahead in a way that's going to make me disappointed if things don't work out, but I gotta say, and not just because we're ending the interview, but I do feel really hopeful about 2021 for all of us, for me, for music and venues and performing. So that's a nice note to end on.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. It was lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Let me know when you book your lip tattoo appointment.
Yeah. Oh, I lip tattoo. The whole thing.
Next, we have a couple of songs, the first being from Sabrina Vanessa, which is called Five More Minutes, followed by Nova Rose with Just In Case.
Six a.m. gotta be somewhere, work day, but baby I don't care. I reach out, grab you by the hand, I'm begging you to stay. Your boss called, said you were late last week. I know
It's 2 a.m. I'm hoping I run into you again. You said you wanna be friends. Let's not pretend that's what you meant. What you meant.
Our next musician is TC Folk Punk, who was given a Beatles album when he was 4 years old and decided that he wanted to be a Beatle when he grew up. Unfortunately, they weren't hiring. But TC's latest album, Famous for 15 People, was recorded in true DIY folk punk style, with TC overdubbing all the instruments in one or two takes, as well as mixing and mastering the finished product, all in the confines of his Toronto apartment. So, from TC Folk Punk, here is the song, Save Ourselves From Us.
The halo around the street light from the fog that's rolling in does nothing to demystify the glistening on your skin. And a second competing halo from a candle half burned out makes you look almost angelic. Not that there was any doubt. Would it harm us all that much? Pretend we never lost that touch. And maybe, maybe we'll save ourselves from us. Jazz radio station might be playing some Coltrane, but it's hard to hear it clearly. Now the fog's been joined by rain, and I'm trying not to focus on our latest compromise or the ticket on your luggage, 'cause it's not just time that flies. Would it harm us all that much? Pretend we never lost that touch. And maybe,
maybe we'll save ourselves from us. Once more for old time's sake seems to be our mating call. As the time is running out now, when it only used to crawl. And our future is uncertain, and our history is blurred. But you redefine the present without uttering a word. Would it harm us all that much? Pretend we never lost that touch. And maybe we'll save ourselves from us. Just maybe we'll save ourselves from us.
Last song for today is Why So Cruel by White Horse. Thank you so much for tuning in to La Bonne Heure with Vali here on CITR 101.9 FM. See you soon. Bye.
It's a crying shame. It keeps me